Hello and welcome to the Live Music Cafe. I'm Debbie Thompson. And before I interview these two guys, I just want to say I'm a fan of all the musicians that I interview on the podcast. I'm not a music journalist, so I don't ask journalist questions. I'm just a fan talking music. And today on the show, I have singer-songwriters, musicians, Chris Gates and Joe Barry from the band Kings of Karma. Hey guys, welcome to the show.
What's going on, Debbie?
How you doing?
I'm doing really good. How are you guys?
Great.
Cool. Busy and great.
Mm-hmm. All right, so what's the deal with this new record?
So we have a new record coming out in a couple months. It's called Chemical Sunsets.
Actually, it's coming out next month.
Oh yeah, it is June. See, I don't even know what day it is anymore.
I just had to correct him real quick, you know, set the story straight.
The days are just blurring into each other.
I hear you.
But yes, it's coming out next month. It's called Chemical Sunsets. Be on the lookout.
Spotify,
okay,
so iTunes, Apple Music, Amazon, everywhere.
Yeah, wherever you stream your music.
YouTube.
Excellent.
Wherever you can find music, it will be there.
Okay, so Chemical Sunset. Wow. What is that name? Why that name?
Well, I'm not going to elaborate a little too much because I don't know if your viewers are going to want to know the true backstory. But
can we just kind of assume that we know what it's about?
You might. See
in the sky. it was actually the image of the cover that you'll see is. The whole idea was in my head during a spiritual outreach. I'll call it that. And so the album cover displays that. And the idea just came to my head, that saying, Chemical Sunsets. You know, not to sound cheesy, but I really do enjoy watching sunsets and sunrises if I'm up early enough. But I always try to just take a moment every day, if possible, just to kind of just look, you know, just for a little bit and just admire it. Because to me, I feel that every day, every sunset, everything you see in the sky is a different painting every single day. It's never the same painting. So I've always just kind of taken the time to be like, this is the last time I'm ever going to see this sunset. And tomorrow will be a different one. So the idea was just, you know, sitting in complete zen alone and just taking it in. And I think that's all I could really elaborate on that without getting too further into it.
He did have a little help. We'll just leave it at that.
A little help from his friends.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have some songs here. So the first song, what's the name of the first song that I'm going to get to share?
The first song is our single that comes out next week, June 17th. The song is called Two Times. It is a single that we just recently won the rock category this past November at the Hollywood Music and Media Awards show, which we were pretty stoked about because we did not expect that at all. So it was a joyous occasion.
So what's the history on the song though?
I would say during the making of the album, I was going through a real early Rolling Stones kind of influence. I like to call it the Mick Taylor years, but you know, Sticky Fingers from 1971 is one of my favorite Stones albums. And when you listen to it, you can definitely hear that influence. And that's why, you know, Joe and I decided to get real horn players to give it that sassiness. Joe lays down an amazing bassline groove. The beat's awesome. You could dance to it. You could sing to it. We wanted just to really write just an authentic rock and roll song. Because other than bands like Greta Van Fleet and Dirty Honey that, you know, are bringing that back, there's still more that needs to be done. And we want to be up in that category as just good, authentic rock and roll. And so when we were putting the song together with all the grooves and everything, we really wanted to make sure that we dialed in on just creating a really good, sassy, in-your-face kind of rock and roll song with good hooks, good lyrics, good guitar solos, good bass lines, good beat. And I would say so far, anytime we've played it live, we usually don't announce it that it's ours until the end, just so we can see the reaction of people. And it's nice because we've witnessed every time we have played it, people actually get out of their seat to come to the dance floor, not realizing that this is not a song you've ever heard before.
Now I've listened to it a couple times. It's really good. It's really
good. Thank you.
Yeah, it's really good.
I'm but yourself. Woo! When nobody else.
So the second song is Joe.
Diamond Needle.
Nah, Diamond Needle. Sorry, I'm drawing a blank.
No, and so I listened to that song too, and I love the beginning of it.
That's how the song was written.
So into
right
that
there.
Stuff, yeah. So tell me about that song, Joe.
Well, it's kind of funny. Me and Chris were just sitting around. I think we're actually recording some other songs. And, you know, Chris ended up just hitting record while I was messing around on bass. And I ended up playing that line. And Chris is like, dude, keep doing that for a little bit. And so I did. And then Chris took it and he structured some more chord changes, yeah. Like more chord changes and progressions in it. And really put his touch on top of the whole thing. And, you know, that's what came out of it. And it's so funny because I actually kind of stole that bass line a little bit. Pretty close. It's pretty close.
Similar.
It's pretty close. But honestly, it's like, if you ain't stealing, you ain't trying. So.
It has similarities, but it's still different.
Yeah, the song itself is a totally different song from where the inspiration came from, so to say.
But it was cool because, yeah, like he started that bass riff that you hear in the beginning. And that's why, you know, when we started writing the song, that's why I wanted to make sure that that bass line is what starts the song, because that's what inspired me immediately in the moment to start writing an E minor and then going into different chords. And it's cool because Joe just, it's kind of like when you listen to like Billie Jean by Michael Jackson, it's that steady bass line. And that's the kind of drums that I wanted. I wanted that really tight, tight beat with that bass line. And I wanted that to almost kind of be like on a loop, because all the chords that I'm doing, like the whole song's just really in E minor. And he's pretty much droning an E minor while I'm changing chords within that family. And it just kind of harmonizes and just like it complemented itself. And that's how we've always written songs though. It just like, it starts off with him just, you know, messing around and then boom.
Yeah.
So 10 minutes later we have a whole song.
Yeah. Be just like a cool little intro riff. And then it just fucking blossoms from there. It's
and
cool.
I like how dark it was. It's really dark, but it's really ravishing and beautiful also. And the idea was, I really wanted to get real strings, so we hired a guy named Daniel Pena, and he's very talented, and he writes orchestrated music and he plays most of those instruments. So I had him come into the studio and I had him do literally 11 different tracks of different harmonies and strings. So he sounds like a big orchestra. So there's 11 string instruments on it, cellos, violins, and all that. But it's just literally one guy just recording himself 11 times with different things. And it just created this big sound.
So I know that you guys wrote all the songs. Who else? I mean, what are we going to see on the back of the album cover?
Well, the cool thing was at the time we had kind of like a little rocky start with certain members and stuff that happened to not be on the record as we started the record, but that didn't stop us from wanting to continue and then find the right people to fit the slots. Cause we had like, what, 26 song ideas, and obviously we weren't going to do a double record. So we needed to like reduce that down to at least a good solid 12. I always say between 12 and 13 songs is a pretty solid record. Anything above that, you might as well just make a double disc at that point. But we needed to reduce that number down. And so we spent time with good friends of ours and musicians that we have a lot of love and respect for shaping and writing these songs. We have our good buddy, Spencer Nicholas, that definitely helped us out on a good, I would say almost half the record, just helping co-write songs and laying beautiful guitar riffs and guitar ideas down. And that definitely helped. So we just said, no, we're going to continue to move forward with that. And so we just said, you know what? Why don't we just, we play with so many great players, you know, being in this community business of musicians, that, you know, we have great, great people in all these different bands, these cats that have been doing this since the 70s, and they're just so talented. And we've always been the young bucks, kind of just like taking notes and being respected by all these people about, you know, like, hey, you know, come play with us and stuff like that, you know, not treating us like kids, treating us like you guys are very far ahead for your age, you know, and treating us with that kind of respect, which, you know, to me, I don't think we deserve to be on any platform where they're at because they've been killing it for so long. But it was always something we definitely admired from all these great players. So we just definitely said, why don't we just invite all these people we get to jam with live at the wineries and all these cool shows. So one of our really good buddies that we played with for years, his name is David Henderson, and he is such an incredible drummer. He's toured with Wu-Tang Clan around the world. He drummed for The Knack, My Sharona, all that kind of stuff. So, and he's a Hollywood session player, just that guy you call when you want a good drummer on a record. And so, you know, we get spoiled getting to be on the same stage with this guy every weekend just to make, you know, a little over $100 with them. But just incredible guy, incredible character, and just came in and killed it. And then the other drummer.
Yeah, Michael Ledger.
Michael Ledger.
He's another one of those legends that is around all over the place, not just in our community, but in many other communities as well. He constantly tours with Walter Trout. He's actually his drummer. He's been his drummer for many years.
And
now.
Edgar Winter back in the day.
And he jammed with Edgar Winter
Winter's
as well.
Drummer.
And he's another guy, just extremely nice and
extremely,
you know,
talented.
Yeah, some of the stuff he does on drums is disgusting.
It's almost crazy. Like fangirling, you know, like when we were in the studio, it's like, this is our art, so we're like, I hope you do it well. But in the end, it's just like, we chose you because we know you're going to do a great job. But we're just sitting in the studio, you know, just fangirling out, because these guys are incredible. You know, at the end of the day, we're fans. And they happened to respect us so much and love the music we were doing so much that they were honored to be asked to be a part of this record. So it's to get that kind of respect from somebody you're a fan of, it's incredible, man. It's such an incredible privilege and honor to be standing in a platform with all these guys and getting treated with respect like you've been in the industry for like 30 years, you know.
That's
incredible.
That's exciting. I mean, that's, you know, at our age, I mean, I don't want to call us groupies or anything, but, you know, sometimes I go and hear musicians play and they're really good. And I'm like, wherever you play, I'm going to go.
You can't help yourself. I mean, you know, these guys are just incredible. And, you know, they might not be, A-list celebrities, but I mean, these guys have played on records that you love, and they've played with all the A-list celebrities and stuff. And they're just, to me, they're famous in my mind. You know, they're famous people in my mind.
Right. And what's cool too is now you are in their mind.
Yeah.
They know who you guys are.
It like I said, it's an honor. It really is.
That's super cool.
To be rubbing elbows with these guys.
Anybody else you want to mention on the back of the album?
I do. Not only our good friend Spencer Nicholas, that definitely helped us out with a lot of great guitar playing and stuff, but the guy who gets all the credit and took us on this crazy journey, Mike Geyer. He's our producer. He's the owner of the Hidden Studio, which is where we recorded. And this guy and his wife Deanna, they're like a power couple, man. They run this business and they run it so smooth, and they're just such great, honest, kind-hearted human beings. They really are just decent, kind human beings. We're so honored that we can call Mike a friend, you know, that I could just call him anytime and just talk about things. And he did such a great job. And, you know, he has hundreds of clients every day, and we could have just been another number that pays me, you know, but
no, he really took us under his wing.
He really did.
And that's another cool thing, because we're also aspiring to have our own studio too. And there's a lot of things that he taught us in a studio setting on how to get, you know, capture really nice vocals. How do you get a good mix? Just a bunch of little tips and tricks on how to really get a solid recording and get something that's marketable. And Mike was also there through some pretty hard times that the band went through as well. And
a lot of setbacks.
Yeah, just a lot of big things that really aren't fun for any band to go through. And he was able to really help us stay focused.
He kept being encouraging, like, you guys got a really great project here, and I know you got some crazy shit going on, but there's no reason these songs deserve some daylight. They deserve to be out there. This is a really good album. Like, he believed in the record so much, like, really took us under his wing and mentored us other than this, just being a producer and an engineer. The guy's incredible.
So one of the last songs that we're going to play is
A song called Something New. It is, it's a great song. I wrote it about my soon to be wife in November, when we first started dating. It's just a song that's pretty much just saying, out of all the bad things that have happened to you in relationships or anything, that you finally found that person that just kind of washes all that away. You know, you always hear that saying, you know, when you meet them, you know, and then you're just kind of like, yeah, whatever. What is this, a Nancy Myers movie? Get over yourself. And then you fall into that situation. You're like, oh, they were right. This person really does change your life and just shapes you into a better person. And they turn you into something new. And that's kind of just where that came, is just pretty much falling in love with the right person and just being super thankful that they've completely changed your outlook and perspective on what you thought was, you know, a certain way. And they just bring nothing but joy to you. And you don't want to lose it, and you don't want to do anything to harm it. You just want to just take care of it. And that's pretty much in a nutshell what that song's about.
Okay.
It's a love song.
I was just going to say, is it a love song?
I guess you can call it one.
Yeah. No, those. I heard it. I listened to it a couple of times. All the songs that you guys sent me are really, really good. And I'm super excited about the album that's going to be released.
Is this it?
17th or the
two times will be the first single. It just felt right because it is the song that got us attention and got us the award, and it really is that one song on the whole record that really just kind of stands out as just like, holy shit, this is awesome. You know, it's just, this is a good rock and roll song. And it, and like I said, it because I was having such a Stones influence, it really does give you that, you know, original but familiar feel.
Right.
And yeah.
So we can find you on Facebook, Kings of Karma.
Yep. You can find us on Instagram at Kings of Karma _official.
Okay.
And then we also have a link tree. You go to link trees, Kings of Karma.
Okay.
That has links.
Yeah. Make sure you put your link tree link on your Facebook page.
Definitely.
Anybody else you want to thank?
I definitely want to thank my fiance, Jennifer, who's been very, very supportive of us, and she's done so much for us. She pretty much, you know, plays our manager, and it's been really nice. Got us into the Hollywood music and media award show. She linked up with a guy, showed him our stuff. He's like, holy shit, this has to be in the show. And he pushed it through, and then it happened to win. So she is the Sharon to my Ozzy, pretty much. So definitely want to thank her for the support for the band and just all of our families and our friends who have supported us no matter what.
This was a cool interview. I am looking forward to getting it published, and your new music is coming out June 17th.
The new single Two Times will be out June 17th.
Spotify, Apple Music,
iTunes, all the music Amazon, channels. Okay. YouTube, anything, Deezer, everything you can listen to music on, it will be there.
Okay, very cool. Thank you guys for taking the time out to be on the podcast.
Well, thank you. We wanted to thank you too, Debbie, because for at least the past, almost 3 years we've known you, you've been beyond supportive of us. You've always come to shows. You've always filmed. You've always, you know, done shout outs, even every day, weekly, every time we share flyers we're playing, you post it.
Sharing our flyers,
you know what I mean? You've been a huge support to us too. And so we want to thank you and encourage more people to checking in on what you're doing, because, you know, it's not like you get paid for this. You're doing this because you're passionate about everybody and you're just passionate about
spreading the word
music. And you've really helped grow that community in Temecula, and Temecula's starting to turn into such, the past few years, it's blowing up into a huge music scene.
Yeah.
Where it's cool. Being referred to as like, oh yeah, the Temecula music scene is, you know, it's hot right now. And it's people like you that make it into that. So we want to thank you.
Thank you. Thank you
for
so
doing
much.
All this.
That's very cool. Well, thank you. All right, guys. Thank you so much. And enjoy the rest of your evening.
You too, Debbie. Thank you again.
Good night.
Good night.